Oh, wow. Well,
there's a bunch of them.
We could both tell you, I guess, pick one. I guess you're right. Over the years, we've had a lot of artists gravitate towards songs that we've written. And I guess Kenny and I write so many songs. If you think about it, you know, we've written, between the two of us, several thousand songs, and you can only put 11 or 12 songs on a record, you know. And so what do you do with all these other songs? And over the years, artists have come asking, hey, you got any songs that would fit my sound? And probably one of the coolest things that ever happened to me was this girl was my bartender downtown in Nashville, and one night she got up to sing, and I went, holy cow, listen to that girl sing. And Kenny was there, and we're like, can you believe this girl's voice? And we got to be friends with her, and then sat down to write a song with her one day, and she and I wrote Redneck Woman. And then not long after that, sat down with Large Kenneth here, as I call him, and Here for the Party starts coming out. And man, these stories, you can't make them up. You know, it just, it happens because you're out there in the middle of it, living it. And, you know, I think that's always been our advice to young singers and writers is you got to go walk right out in the middle of it and see what's happening and let it happen to you.
Yep, you just got to live it. Back, I think my greatest song story still goes back 2002, New Year's Eve. John and I were invited out to Las Vegas to see the opening show of the first Alabama Farewell Tour. At that point in time in 2002, I think both of us were between record deals. Between record deals for me at that time meant I was broke. So, you know, I went out to Vegas with a couple hundred bucks in my pocket and was lucky I had you know, a friend get me a hotel room and stuff to stay in. That last night we're coming back home, and I realized that, you know, I'm going to be coming back. It's going to be the first of the month. You know, I had blown through pretty much the little bit I had, you know, just getting something to eat or whatever. You know, I have like $100 left. It's 2-3 a.m. in the morning, and I'm going, well, you know, I'm going to be heading back. I got to figure out some way to pay my bills. I guess I'll just do what anybody would do. I'll take what I got and go play blackjack. So I went down and sat at a blackjack table, and I got that, you know, within about 2-3 hours, I had that $100 up to about $800. I had won 10 hands in a row. And I'm going, boy, if I'm feeling so good right now, if I just push this out here one more time, I double this thing one more time, then I got this month covered. No more worries whatsoever. We're going to have the cable bill paid and everything. So I did what any of us would do, and I pushed out there. This dealer started going around. She flipped me over some pretty good cards, but then the next thing you know, she flips her card over, and lo and behold, she had a blackjack. Well, man, talking about having that sinking feeling. Well, I had two chips left. I had a $1 chip and a $20 chip. I gave her the $20 chip, and I said, thank you, ma'am. That was a great time, but I'm gonna keep this $1 chip because I might need a little something to start over with. I went up to my hotel room. I sat down on the edge of the bed. It's now like 6 a.m. in the morning, and I was going to, you know, just lay down for a moment before I went and got on that plane heading back. And I sat down on the edge of the bed. I went to pull my boots off, and the heel come right off the bottom of my boot. So then I laid back on the bed, and I just looked up and said, what next, Lord? And within about 30 minutes, it just hit me. I'm down to my last dollar. I've walked right through my shoes, a friendly small reminder of all the hell that I've been through. But look at me still smiling because I'm wondering what I'll do. Because since I ain't got nothing, I got nothing to lose. And 1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing because you're giving me such a beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad y'all here today because tomorrow I might have to go and fly away. So 2002, I write that song. Now, I'm playing a song at Music Mafias and stuff every week, just, you know, putting it in a new collection of songs. In 2003, John and I get signed to a record deal again on Warner Brothers. 2004, Tim brings us out on tour with him. By the end of that year, I'd paid off enough of my debts I could actually go into the studio again. It just so happens the studio that I'd gone in to record was John McBride's place, Blackbird, and lo and behold, that fall, Tim was in Blackbird recording his new album also. He comes by the studio that we're in, and he hears the song we're working on. So we go out to his truck. He wants to listen to it. He hears it through one time. He looks over at me and says, you going to let me cut that? And I just looked at him like in disbelief. I couldn't believe that here this was happening like that. Well, I said, Tim, I don't guess I can stop you from cutting this song if you want it. He cuts the song, and then his label held him up for 3 years. Before the song, they allowed him to put the song out, but it came out in 2007, It was the lead single off of that album, and went to number one. And, you know, for something like that to happen even one time in any writer's or songwriter's or artist's career is just an amazing thing. And that story, I will never get tired of telling it. It's been an absolute blessing. But as John said earlier, you just got to get out there in the middle of it and live it, believe it, write it, and keep on believing it and keep on playing it everywhere you go, and changes lives in a beautiful way, the power of music.